Hello and welcome to Power of the Parent, the podcast. This series is a new format and we are going to be focusing on a different topic each week, bringing you three things you need to know about whatever that may be, mainly from an employer perspective. But of course, there's plenty of reframing that parents could do to benefit from the content as well. We will be covering everything from parental leave transitions, managing boundaries, what to do when your talent pipeline looks a bit dodgy, tips on gathering feedback, and things like establishing parental support networks. So let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Power of the Parent, Three Things You Need to Know About. Today, I've got company and I've got company in the shape of Laura Walker, who is one half of the Jobshare Revolution. And what they're doing at the Jobshare Revolution, I am in complete awe of. I think it is an incredible topic to be working with organisations on, and I'm really, really excited to see where this goes for them. So Laura is one half. Her partner in crime and in work is Chloe, who isn't with us today because we are job sharing. And I know that you're both very particular about where you double up. So after having very illustrious backgrounds in finance, both Laura and Chloe, who are also very well versed in the juggle of parenthood, are now navigating the world of job sharing in running their own consulting business. And they are spending an awful lot of time, from what I can see, busting myths about part-time working, showcasing all the amazing things that are made possible through job sharing, and they are partnering with organisations to establish properly structured and considered job share infrastructure. So I'm really excited that Laura is going to be sharing some pearls of wisdom with us today. So welcome, Laura.
Oh, thank you for having me, Charlotte. It's lovely to be here.
I'm really excited to chat about it. I do think that this is an angle of a conversation that still needs so much more depth to it to be like, there's loads of depth there, but it needs sharing with the world so much more. The three things that Laura's going to talk to us today are the first one, and brace yourselves, but it is that it's not just for parents. And when we were back and forth on email about the three things, there was a bit, is that okay to say? I'm like, absolutely, because some of these topics that we cover really aren't a parent-only issue, and the more we can surface that, the better. So I'm all for it. The second thing is that it makes economic sense. And the third thing is going to be that it is the unlocker of progression and fulfilling careers for those working part-time. So I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to hand over to Laura, who is going to take her first point and talk to us about why it isn't just for parents.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you, Shah. So well, as I said, when I sent you an email, I'm not quite sure I should say this, that job sharing isn't just for parents. But I think it's really important that we start to smash some of those myths about part-time work. I think historically, part-time work has been something that mums do, and there's been a negative connotation about that, and there shouldn't be a negative connotation about that, because as you talk about, and as I have, you know, evangelized for a long time about, being a parent is a brilliant thing, because the skills you learn as a parent are absolutely phenomenal to put back into the workplace. I mean, I know in my personal example, after navigating the juggle of, you know, maternity leave and then getting a kid in a nursery, the negotiation skills you learn, everything you learn about from being a parent, I think makes you even better in the workplace. So that's not to say job sharing as something for parents is a bad thing, but I think it's important to expand it out. So if we start first though, like, is job sharing for parents? Job sharing is a great solution for parents. So for anyone who doesn't know what job sharing is, it's kind of what it says on the tin. Job sharing is where you take one full-time role and you share it. And it's really important that we say share, because you don't split the job. This isn't about taking a full-time role and splitting the job in two. If you are able to take full-time roles and split them in two, that's cool. That's a really good thing to do. If you can craft roles to be less than full-time and craft them effectively, that is brilliant. But what job sharing is where you take a full-time role and you share it, and you kind of take the full responsibility, the full accountability, the deliverables of a full-time role, but two people work together to deliver on those. And what that means is, by kind of sharing the role, it's a normal full-time role, you're able to open every single full-time job to part-time. And that's really important, because flexible working and part-time working is really, really important for parents. And you know, I'm sure you'll have seen kind of lots of this and debated this kind of over and over again, but flexibility means lots of different things. There are all sorts of different types of flexibility. And I think sometimes we mix up flexibility and hybrid. And we think that if you give someone the option to work, when I say we think, people think, certain leaders in certain organizations think, if you allow someone to work from home on a Friday, that's flexible. That's not flexible. The 4 day week in some ways can be really flexible, but some versions of the 4 day week are not flexible because they insist that you're in an office 8 till 6, Monday to Thursday. So flexibility comes in lots of different forms, and the particular form we're passionate about is part-time work and part-time work through JobShare. And I think part-time work can be a brilliant unlocker for parents because if you are able to do a job that is fulfilling and energizing and intellectually stimulating, and also not do that 5 days a week, I think that can be a game changer. Personally, I started job sharing. Well, I started working part time when I went back after my first maternity leave. I'd had a really successful career. I loved work. I absolutely loved work. And I think part of my problem was I loved work too much. I didn't know how to kind of put a pin in it. And I knew that if I worked full time, I would probably burn out. I wouldn't be able to do it. So my red line was I wanted to spend more days at home with my kids than I spent at work. So 3 days was a great solution for me. And I think, you know, part-time work is brilliant for parents. But getting to the point I was trying to make, part-time work and job sharing is not just for parents. So we founded the Job Share Revolution. Probably a big part of it was to help parents and particular mums. You know, we all know about the motherhood penalty and the kind of complete lack of females in the highest levels of leadership. So we started it probably with an overall aim to drive representation and reduce the gender pay gap and particularly support working mums. However, what we've seen through our work is that job sharing goes so much further than that. So it is brilliant for parents, it's brilliant for mums, it's brilliant for dads and other parents who really want to play an active part in their kids' childhood. They want to take an equal parenting role, they want to do more of the parental caregiving. So it works brilliant there, but it also works in loads of other scenarios. So we say job sharing is brilliant for caregivers, for experienced talent, for people with perhaps disabilities or long-term health conditions, and for portfolioists. So if I talk a little bit about those, so caregivers first, there are loads of different challenges in the modern world. We see lots of people who are now, I guess, I think they call it the sandwich generation. So you're caring both for older parents and you're caring for your children as well. And that can be a real juggle. I've got a friend at the minute who is juggling dealing with her parent who's really not well, and she's got young kids, and she's spending an awful lot of time driving to see her parent who's not well. And that is almost impossible if you're working full time. And not even in that kind of extreme scenario, just general kind of life care and responsibilities. I think that job sharing is brilliant for that because it means you have got kind of time away from work. The other emerging pool of talent we are seeing really drawn into job sharing is experienced talent. And this is where you maybe have someone who's worked in an organization or is kind of much further into their career. Maybe they're thinking about retirement in the next 5 to 10 years. They've got all this talent, they've got all this experience, they've got brilliant knowledge, and they don't want to leave the workforce. But at the minute, the way the workforce is currently set up, if you don't want to work full time, there's not a huge number of options. And you kind of fall off this cliff edge that you kind of work and then suddenly you don't work. And I think that's not really sustainable. We see a lot of people who want to work for longer and actually need to work for longer. The world is not really set up in such a way that if you retire at 55, chances are you live for another 40 years. You're going to go, you know, you're probably going to get really bored if you're not finding some purpose and something to do. So we see a kind of emerging group who want to work for longer, and job sharing is a brilliant, brilliant solution for that. And what we see work really, really well is where you take some of that really experienced talent and match it with someone, perhaps a parent. So we had a brilliant job share where we had someone with phenomenal decades of experience within an organization, and they were matched with someone who was coming back from maternity leave. They had completely complementary skills. They worked really well together. They brought different things, but as a partnership, they were super powerful. So I think that kind of matching of experienced talent versus kind of less developed talent or talent earlier in their careers, that can be a real power partnership. And then a couple of other examples where job sharing works really well. We're seeing more and more job sharing as a solution for people who are maybe managing a long-term health condition or living with a disability. So someone might have a long-term health condition that might be exacerbated by stress, and actually being part of a job share enables them to do challenging work, fulfilling work, but to take some time out to get the kind of rest and recovery they need. And that can be a real game changer. Often, just the sheer fact that you are in a team working with someone can make a huge difference to your well-being. So that can work really well for people living with kind of health conditions. And then finally, and this is probably partly a little bit the emergence of the new generation of workforce, but people have different expectations of careers now. And we are seeing more and more what we would call portfolioists in the workforce. So people who are starting a side hustle, or, we knew someone who worked 3 days in a big corporate and 2 days a week trained to be a psychologist. I heard someone the other day who worked part-time and on the other 2 days learned to play the guitar. There's all sorts of reasons why people might want to work part-time. And I think job sharing can be a fantastic solution for all of those people to enable them to do jobs that are fulfilling and challenging and interesting and help them kind of meet their goals in work and life together.
Oh, I mean, I love everything that you've just shared there. And it really paints an incredibly vibrant and rich tapestry of what job sharing is in reality, because I think it is up there with having a particular brand. And I think if you said job share, most people would. I've got no stats to back this up, by the way, but I'm going to throw it out there that I still think that the examples that you've shared there probably wouldn't be the first ones that they jump to, let's be honest. So the more we can talk about that, the better. And you do see so much good work being poured in by organizations who are really trying to lift the lid on the realities of flexible working, job sharing being one of them. It's funny when you were saying about, I don't think you said these exact words, I'm going to paraphrase, but what I wrote down was flexibility actually can be inflexible when it doesn't work well. So the example of actually, if you're doing 4 days, that's been badged as flexible working, but 4 of those days, you've chained to a desk 8 till 6, and then yes, you can work from home on a Friday. That's a working pattern. That's not flexibility. And I remember having that conversation with somebody when I worked in an organization, and it almost, I don't know, people didn't really want to admit that that was the case because, I mean, at the time, the flexible working applications, and you will recognize this name, but flexible working applications even had a branding called Care for Kids. So the only time that flexible working was discussed was when it came to being a parent. I know that that organization have moved on from that, but that's the kind of thing that you can feel like you're up against, I suppose. So if we can look at it in the really beautifully creative way you've just described and the different setups and scenarios, honestly, I had in my head when you were describing that partnership that you could have with somebody who is perhaps earlier in their career or has just returned from parental leave, and then somebody who might be thinking, okay, how do I plan for retirement in the next 5 or 10 years? I've got a really like romantic idea in my head of how that could work and how amazing the learning from each other could be. Like, sign me up. I'm thinking maybe I need to get myself a job share partner.
It's funny because a lot of people say that, like, it has transformed how I live and work because there's so many benefits from it. And I think you end up in this partnership that is like nothing else. It's like the best team you've ever worked in. And, Chloe and I have a really very strong relationship, but we're not uncommon. You talk to job sharers and this magic of this relationship. And one of the things that I think is really interesting, in leadership roles, you often hear it's quite lonely at the top. It's not lonely when you're in a job share. We used to run the Finance Shared Service Centre at Asda. And we had, I think at one point we had 165 people working for us. And when you feel accountable for that many people, for their careers, for decisions that are going to impact them, that can weigh quite heavily if you're someone who kind of cares deeply about people. And that weighed a lot less heavily when I shared it with someone, when I felt like I could bounce those tricky, difficult decisions around with someone when we made decisions together. And that's not to say we made every decision together, but when things were really difficult, having someone who's in that role with you, helping you make those decisions, it's just transformative in terms of how it makes you operate.
Which I think leads us on nicely to your second point about the economic sense side of things. Talk us through that.
Yeah, so I don't know if you said this in the introduction, but we spent our career in finance, and you can take the girl out of finance, but you can't take finance out of the girl. We can't keep away from the economics, the kind of financial payback of job sharing. And I make no apology for that because actually, a lot of organizations who are feeling a little bit resistant to change, the big blocker or barrier that they will talk about is the cost. And just to kind of explain for anyone who doesn't kind of necessarily understand the mechanics, we would always recommend a job share is done as 2 3-day roles. So, two people work in 3 days each. And what that means is you have a day where you overlap and where you hand over. Now, there are kind of versions that iterate around that. You could maybe have a little bit less than 3 days. There are some models that are not quite 3 days, but in the main, a 3 plus 3 job share makes the most sense. And that's because we talk about job sharing in all roles, and we talk about job sharing for roles that are kind of high impact leadership roles, senior roles, roles where you are making difficult decisions or where you are having kind of complexity within the role. And I think lots of roles that people do now, the jobs that people are doing in, corporate world or the civil service or whatever, they're kind of challenging roles. So you need that level of crossover in order to make sure there's a seamless transition between the pair. But that level of crossover, whilst it allows you to kind of have a seamless transition, what it also does is it kind of amplifies the power of bringing those two people together. So one of the biggest benefits of job sharing is you get two brains for the price of one. So technically it's two brains for the price of 1.2 because you're paying for 6 days rather than five, but you get two brains for the price of one. And you have to create a bit of time for those two brains to come together. So that handover day is really, really important because it allows you the time and space to throw around ideas, to make some of those tricky decisions, to maybe engage with your team or with key stakeholders, anything you need to do together. But one of the things we talk about a lot with job sharers is you have to be really selective on how you use that crossover time. So you said in the introduction, there's only me here. Chloe and I only double run on things when we absolutely need to. So our crossover day is a Wednesday, and most of the time on a Wednesday, we are in parallel meetings. If we've got client calls or if we've got meetings, whatever's going on, we separate, we kind of divide and conquer. So what that means is you end up with more than 5 days worth of time. You effectively kind of get the full benefit of 6 days. You do need to create some time to do handover, but kind of once you get into a rhythm of job sharing well, that handover time is really minimal. So Chloe and I were doing this very senior job at Asda, quite high impact, and we probably spent 2 hours a week on handover. We got the kind of handover perfected to about kind of 2 hours, and that wasn't 2 hours together. Part of it was via voice notes and things, and then would maybe spend an hour discussing on the day. So you can really perfect that time. So this kind of leads to the economics of the situation because, as I said, you're effectively paying for 1.2. So that means you have 20% more costs, you've got 20% more salary, benefits, all of those kind of things. And that can be a blocker for some organizations. Some organizations just cannot get past that. But actually, there is a business case that really stacks up. So, we are finance people. The first thing we did was build a business case, a financial model that proves it. And it's relatively easy to prove the payback. So, the first bit of payback is about productivity benefit. So, there was some research done in the kind of early 2010s that desperately needs refreshing, but that research said there was a 30% uplift in productivity from a job share pair. So, you get 30% more out of a job share pair than you get out of just one individual. So that more than covers the cost of the additional 20%. There's some recent research that's coming out of Germany, which is really interesting. And that says that 66% of line managers say that their job shares were more productive than a full-time employee. And that's adjusted for the additional cost. So even once you factor in the additional 20%, 66% of line managers said that job shares were more productive than a full-time employee. And of the remaining people in the survey, 26% said that job shares were as productive as a full-time employee. So there's a very small number saying that job shares are less productive. And that makes total sense. Like, even in its simplest terms, when we think back to, and this is something we hear in different organizations, so it's not just in our old employer, but when we think back to when we worked in the corporate world, Chloe worked Friday. But Friday was like her Wednesday. So she was still raring to go, really eager. Friday afternoon, she's like the most productive person in the building because she's got so much energy from only being in work for 3 days. So you get like maximum capacity out of people for the full time they're working, which I think is one of the reasons why you get that productivity. But even if you don't kind of accept or buy into that productivity benefit, or it can't be demonstrated or proved, the bit that you get, the other kind of key bit of payback, is the risk of the downside of losing your talent. So if you've got an employee, and you'll know this from everything you do, Char, but if you've got an employee who you've kind of had in your organization, you've trained, you've developed, you've coached, you know, you've got this brilliant employee, and they leave your organization, the cost of that loss and the cost of attracting new talent and retaining your brilliant talent that you've currently got, that's much more than 20% of an FTE. So I think people have to be more open-minded and really think about the true cost. What we often see is that cost is described as a barrier, but actually when you really unpick it, it's a cultural, it's a change issue. It's, you know, we spent our career in finance and latterly doing, implementing big change programs. So we are change managers, change leaders at heart, really. And we see that change resistance come through quite a lot in job sharing. It's new, it's unfamiliar. It's not the way things are typically done. And some organizations and some individuals find that really hard. And the cost is something kind of easy to say is the barrier, rather than kind of facing into some of the kind of core challenges, which are more about change adoption and trying something new that's seen as a little bit of a risk.
I mean, I really hope that people are listening and taking note of those numbers there from somebody who has had that extremely illustrious career in finance, because I think it is a conversation that a lot of people struggle with. And we do definitely default to it costs more, or it's this, that, or the other. And as a headline, that is true in terms of your initial, like pounds, shilling and pence, on paper it might look like, but it is not true. If anything, it's clickbait. It's not actually true once you dig into it. So you can understand why people might believe it, but we have to be honest with ourselves and say that isn't something to take at face value. We have to look at what's the greater depth. How do we go and do our own percentages and numbers, our own mini surveys of some of the research that you shared there? And another piece of data that also needs updating, it's slightly more updated, it's a 2014 figure, but it's the average cost to recruit in the UK of 30 grand. Now, that is an average and will fluctuate across it. I like, imagine there's an asterisk there and I'm putting all the small print. Of course, that fluctuates across industries, across levels, all of that stuff. It's an average for a reason, but we have got to start somewhere. And you think then about what you could invest and what you could save if you look at this differently. And even if you do start from the view of parents, which, you know, not necessarily supportive of, but even if you do, the repercussions, the ripple effects can create massive waves for everybody. So if you feel like you do need to start with one particular group because, you know, their metaphorical house is on fire, absolutely sort those flames out. But just know that most of these things that we're talking about can have really far-flung impacts for anybody.
Yeah. And I think often organisations do start with parents for job sharing because it's a really relevant intervention point. That is the point at which a need for flexible and part-time work comes to the foremost. We are seeing, though, now more people joining those two dots, more organisations joining those dots on parents plus experienced talent. And there's a really beautiful dynamic, I guess, of that experienced talent might have a bit of flex to flex up and flex down. Because say you take a scenario where you've got someone coming back from parental leave, they've had their first child, they come back to work, they do a job share, and they find a job share combination with someone who's more experienced. And then at some point over the next couple of years, they take a second parental leave. That person who's been sharing with them might choose to go back full time for a year and then go back to the original model. And that can be a really nice model. And the other way that model can work really well, because part-time working isn't for everyone forever. So some people might want to work part-time for 5 years, and that fits really beautifully as well with someone who might want to work part-time for 5 years in the final 5 years of their professional career as they kind of think about moving towards retirement in a more transitionary way. So there's all sorts of ways that this bringing together of kind of talent pools, I guess, can be really powerful. And I think it all speaks to a need as leaders within organisations to think about your talent and your people and understand the needs and have conversations. And I'm sure you recommend this in your work, but have those open conversations about what works for the employee and then how you kind of match that with what works for the employer. Because often they're the same thing, they work really well together. But it's about knowing your people and knowing and having conversations about what's the right thing and then trying to find ways to bring those people together.
Which leads me nicely into your third point, particularly with us talking about, you know, different stretches in our career, that job sharing can be a real unlocker of progression and fulfilling careers for those that are working part-time. Can you talk us through some of your experiences there?
Yeah, so I think that one of the things we observe is that part-time working has a certain brand, and it's a completely misformed view, but the brand is that part-time working is certain jobs can be done on a part-time basis. If you work part-time, you won't be promoted. If you work part-time, you can't progress. And you've made a decision to trade off your career versus working part-time, and that is absolute nonsense. And I used to say when I worked in kind of big business, I was ambitious at work and I was ambitious at home. I mean, it was to my own detriment. I kept saying things like, when my kids start school, I'm going to run a marathon. And then my kids started school and I had to actually run a marathon, like, which was a bit foolish. But it is absolutely sensible, logical, and brilliant to want to progress and to also want to work part-time. Like, you don't suddenly become less ambitious because you have kids. You just don't suddenly want to do a kind of lower grade or lower capability job because you just have kids. You are still a brilliant, capable professional who does brilliant work after you have children. And if you choose to work part-time, that shouldn't be a reason why your career has to stop. But I think for a lot of individuals in a lot of organizations, that is the case. Job sharing completely turns that on its head, because first of all, it opens up all jobs to part-time work. And I think what we often see is that when someone requests to work part-time, sometimes they are kind of offered a role that is a part-time role, but the role hasn't actually been scoped to be a part-time role. It's a full-time job and they are being paid often 20% less to do 4 days a week, but the deliverables of that role have not been scaled down. Now, there are some organisations that do that really, really well. And my personal view is it is absolutely possible to scale roles down appropriately, but often it doesn't happen. And what we see quite a lot is particularly in kind of fast-paced, highly reactive, high-impact jobs, if you are not in the business 5 days a week, you find it really difficult to do your job. What we often see is that the detriment to that sits with the individual, not with the employer. And this was certainly my experience. I worked 4 days for a while and delivered absolutely everything. You know, I was getting really good reviews. I was performing in my job, delivering all my targets and deliverables. but I felt like my world was like slightly falling apart personally. And that's an exaggeration, but it was really difficult to manage because the role hadn't been scoped before days. It was a full-time job. I just had less time to do it. So that's what we see quite a lot. Now, job sharing fully shifts that on its head. So it means that you can do any job and you can do it on a part-time basis. And you also, when you're not there, someone else is. So you don't end up in this kind of challenge of never quite being caught up with what's going on because there's someone else there all the time. Because of that, one, it means all jobs can be done on a part-time basis. So you don't end up in this kind of like sticky floor situation where you get trapped in a role that's beneath your capability because it gives you the flexibility and the part-time role you need. But it also means that you have the kind of capacity to do some of those things that allow you to progress. One of the things we see a lot is that some of that kind of discretionary effort that can lead to progression is what goes when you are working part-time. So there might be kind of side of desk projects or, extracurricular activities that give you kind of extra credit in terms of aiming for a promotion or progression opportunity. If you're working 4 days a week and you're doing a full-time job, you can't do any of that stuff. And we speak to particularly women all the time who miss out on progression opportunities because there isn't the kind of capacity within their part-time working pattern to be able to do them. Job sharing completely shifts that because part of the pair is there all the time. You are able to take on those tasks. Often you can multiply some of those kind of discretionary effort or promotable task type activities because you've got more capacity because of that extra kind of 20 or 30 percent of productivity. So there's all of this opportunity that is opened up by creating part-time work through job sharing that just means you are able to progress even when working part-time. And I think that is almost like a missing puzzle piece in the way we think about the jigsaw of the things you need to put in place to enable parents particularly, but everyone to thrive in organizations. If you've got a part-time working model that really works, it just enables people to kind of thrive and flourish and to kind of perform even better. So I think job sharing can really support kind of progression and development of talent. And one of the things you said earlier was about kind of shining a light on it and how people know about it. And that's one of our kind of core missions at the Job Share Revolution is to highlight some of the brilliant stories of job sharing. We've got a podcast called Job Share Stories, and in that we talk about brilliant job share partnerships and how they work. And we've got several stories of people who've progressed. So we've got people who've been promoted to partner in a law firm. We've got people in kind of senior CEO type roles who have come through the ranks or progressed whilst working part-time as part of a job share. And we're trying really hard to get that message out there, because I think there is this myth around part-time work that is absolute nonsense. And we need to smash it, and we need to share more stories of people working part-time and continuing to be their most brilliant, fantastic selves and getting the kind of benefits of that.
That sounds utterly wonderful. And I will pop a link in the show notes to that podcast that Laura has just mentioned so that you can go and have a listen to all of the amazing stories that they have been sharing. I've taken so many notes myself from this discussion, and I really love the way that you are approaching this with that blend of commerciality with the day-to-day realities. And I'm always here for a myth being busted. So thank you so much for sharing all of that with us today. If people want to come and find out how they can work with you and enlist your consulting services, where is best to find you?
Yep, so we are at www.thejobsharerevolution.co.uk, and we are all over LinkedIn as the Job Share Revolution. So just to have a look there and get in touch. I mean, we could talk about this like all day. I could spend all day every day just talking about how great job sharing is. But we're also realistic around the challenges as well. And what we try to do is to be honest and transparent and talk about all of the shades of job sharing, because we want organizations to implement solutions that really work and kind of outlast us, because we're really trying to change things. Like, our goal as an organization is to not exist, because job sharing is just a totally normalized way of working. So yeah, always happy to have any conversation about it. And it's been lovely to be chatting today. Thanks, Shah.
Well, thank you for coming on. And all of those links will be in the show notes. So please do go and check out Laura and Chloe in a little bit more detail and have a read of all their amazing work. Thank you so much. And I will be back soon with another new episode. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Power of the Parent, the podcast. If you have got a few spare minutes, who am I kidding? Of course you haven't got a few spare minutes, but if you would like to choose to spend a few of your minutes giving me any sort of review or rating, I would massively appreciate it. It does help other people find it, and it also lets me know that I'm hitting the spot with listeners. For more free resources, you can head to the show notes, where you'll find a link to the Power of the Parent website, or do head on over to LinkedIn and give me a follow. Search Charlotte Speak and my grinning face should pop up. Until next time, take care.